Next question is from Jean in the USA. This relates to the How to Stop Anyone Smoking course. And so Jean says, do you have any suggestions to help my success rate with smokers? I've been hugely successful with the rewind technique, but not with smokers.
Okay, Jean, thank you very much for the question. And the first question, do you do it in a one-hour? I always go for one session, and I recommend people do, without an initial consultation. Bearing in mind, you may have had an email exchange with them or some sort of communication with them prior to the first session, so you might know something about them. But I'll always go for one session. I may do a follow-up session, as I did with Linda in the video on the course, but only if it's necessary. And actually with Linda, it wasn't necessary because I knew she'd stop smoking, but I wanted to demonstrate the difference in her after a few months of not smoking. So so generally we're going for a one-hour. We want to do it in one go. And the way I look at smoking is that, if you're going to, you don't know which cigarette it's going to be, So if you deal with a smoker, then it's not someone who smokes one cigarette anymore. Every cigarette they smoke is on top of hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of other cigarettes. So we're looking at which straw is going to break the camel's back, the tipping point that might tip them into the point of no return. So we want to, we don't know which one it's going to be. It could be this one. It could be one that they really savor. It could be one that they don't even notice. And that one might, on top of all the other cigarettes, cast them down into ruination as far as their health is concerned and spoil everything. So we want to get them out as quickly as possible. If someone's in a burning building, which is the metaphor I've used with smokers because of the smoke inhalation connection, then we don't think about tarrying about getting them out fast. Okay. It's not okay. Well, I'll talk to you now. Then I'll come back in half an hour and I'll think about getting you out of this burning building. Okay. And that's the way I look at smoking. Not that I'm virulently and boorishly anti-smoking and I don't lecture people about how they shouldn't smoke or anything like that, socially. But when I'm seeing a smoking client, it's a matter of urgency. As a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist, there are few opportunities to actually save someone's life. Okay. And, with smoking cessation, you may be literally saving someone's life, or at least adding 10, 15, 20 years to it, or keeping the integrity of their organs intact and so forth. Okay. So it's not a small thing, stopping smoking, although it's somehow become trivialized in people's minds. Hypnosis is for stopping smoking. So go for a one-er. Okay. If you look at the Linda session on the course, then that's all done in one go. And actually I hadn't spoken to her before that session either. Okay. Now, as far as arm levitation, that's not necessary at all. And I did that in one session in a really old film. But that session is really to demonstrate dealing with resistance. So forget about arm levitation. Okay. And someone doesn't lift their arm during arm levitation. It lifts. Okay. In the same way that someone doesn't consciously blush, they notice themselves blushing. If someone experiences arm levitation during hypnosis, it's that they notice it happening because it's an unconscious response. Okay. Which we can link to not wanting to smoke. Now, we do want the unconscious mind invested in someone not smoking anymore, so they don't have to try not to smoke. It just feels natural not to smoke now. Okay. So we do want that to happen. But we might link that to numbness in the hands, rather than an arm levitation. Okay. So that was an atypical session, the one with the arm levitation. I wouldn't normally do that with a smoker, unless I felt the person had a particularly hypnotic talent for that. Now, I might attach it to therapeutic gain. But we can talk about numbness in the hands. If we think about, the hands are part of a team. And the hands rely on the lungs and heart. The hands need blood to function. But the hands are sort of, betraying the heart and lungs by colluding with this interloper, this dictator, this assassin, the cigarette. Okay. So we might suggest the hands can start to be numb with reluctance when it becomes to betraying the heart. Okay. After having the heart talk to the person about what it needs and so forth, which sounds insane when you're talking about it like this, but hypnotically it makes perfect sense. Okay. So we are looking to get the unconscious mind on side against, smoking. Okay. So, but forget about hand levitation and so forth for the time being. And as far as upping your success rate, stick to the principles of the course. Okay. And what are the principles? Well, defamiliarizing the pattern through metaphor. Okay. So we're, you know, if you look at my, again, with my session with Linda, then I'm not actually talking that much about, smoking. Okay. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about, tyrants. I'm talking about parasites and so forth, abusers, bullies, con men, using all those metaphors. So we're defamiliarizing it. We're separating from the person's core identity, because what people do is they think of themselves as a smoker. Now, you know, if it's core to your identity, I am a smoker, someone wants to stop me smoking, they want to stop me, you know, and stopping me is you know, metaphorical killing of me, you know. So, but if I can feel separated from my smoking pattern, because it's externalized, perhaps in the form of a metaphor, then I can detach from it much more easily. The parasitical effect of it is no longer there. A parasite will pretend to be you, okay? And you know, so we're extracting the person from the parasitical smoking, or it from them, and we can do that through talking about it as an abuser, as a parasite, as a bully, as a tyrant, as a con man. Okay. You use the straw that broke the camel's back analogy as well. That's really good, because that can undermine the idea that one won't hurt, you know, and, oh, it's just one cigarette. And of course it's not one cigarette. And as I do with Linda, I have her imagine all, I suggest the straw that broke the camel's back analogy. And then I have her imagine all the cigarettes she'd ever allowed into herself, you know, since she was young, 30 years, I think she'd been smoking. And you know, what that would look like in a pyramid, in a pyre of cigarettes, and what it would smell like, and so forth. And you're adding one and one and one to those, you know, and it's an unstable mountain that can crumble, you know. So so use that as well, okay. And as I say, you can build up a sense of what the heart needs and the lungs, so that she starts to, she, or your smoker, think about Linda, can start to build up a sense of loyalty to the lungs that have been loyal to her, you know. So, you know, your heart has so many beats as it's remet, you know, it's trying to beat as many times for you, so that you have a longer life rather than a shorter one, you know. And your lungs are trying to go in and out, exhale and inhale as many times as possible. And that equates, of course, to your longevity or otherwise. Okay. And they're loyal to you. They're really working for you. So what would they say to you if they finally had a voice, finally had representation? Okay. Finally had free speech. And in trance, we can have people listen to their heart, what it would say about that smoking and those hands that enable that smoking. Okay. And what the lungs would say to the person. And then we can build up a sense of loyalty in the hands again, because, as I said, the hands rely on the heart and lungs for their continuance in this world. Okay. So, you know, we can suggest that the hands no longer need to betray the lungs and heart and all the cells of the body. And they may henceforth be numb with reluctance when it comes to betraying the rest of the body. Okay. So those are a few of the major ideas of the course. And also we can look at the trigger times, you know, which may be the things that the cigarette has inveigled its way into the person's psyche, you know, so that you can't do this without me. You can't have a coffee without me. You can't have an alcoholic drink after work without me. You can't celebrate without me. You can't commiserate in stress times without me. You know, you need me. And, you know, that sort of is what abusive partners do, isn't it? You know, you can't exist without me. You can't live without me. You're nothing without me. Okay, so we're externalizing the pattern. We're defamiliarizing the smoking. So we don't talk about smoking. We talk about the bigger pattern and the wider implications for true and genuine and authentic autonomy for the person. So if you work in that way, I think you'll start to have much better results.